almost 30 years ago now, when Here of a Sunday Morning first started on WBAI. So let's go out, and by the time we come back, it will be the thrills of the Pacifica National Board meeting.
Good morning, everybody. We're here in Houston. This is Leslie Kagan, the chair of the Interim Pacifica National Board, and we want to again welcome not only everybody who's here in the room with us in Houston, and the board members and the activists and people from the different signal areas around the country, but also we want to welcome those of you who are listening on the air this morning, WBAI, WPFW, KPFK, KPFA. Are all broadcasting live today, and on the web, all of our stations, and here in Texas, KPFTX.org is broadcasting on a new addition to their web capabilities, and also WBIX, who are always there with us, broadcasting everything we do, showing every wrinkle we have out there to you all. So again, we want to thank people, and hopefully you'll hang in there with us. We're going to move through a full agenda. Those of you who were listening to earlier parts of the meeting yesterday or Friday night know that we've already covered quite a bit, and there is always more to do. We've revised the agenda this morning, so what we're going to do is start with the minutes from the previous meetings, that is from the June meeting that we had in Berkeley. And then there were a series of five conference calls that the board has had since then. The board members got these minutes on Friday when they arrived here, and that's why we did not do a review or an adoption of the minutes on Friday night to give people time to look at them. So I think we should take them in chronological order. To start with the June minutes, and then work our way up to the most recent. I think that probably makes sense. Do I hear a motion or a recommendation on the minutes of the June board meeting? Yes, James Ferguson.
This is the first time I've had an opportunity to see the minutes, so
Janice, can you speak a little louder?
This is the first opportunity that I've had to see the minutes. So are we going to have a vote on this morning, first thing?
Right. Well, that was the plan, but I share your concern. I know I got this Friday night also. You know, we've all been in meetings all weekend. I haven't had a chance to read the full 60 pages of the minutes on the June meeting. I'm not normally a betting person, but I would bet other people on this board haven't read them either. So I would certainly welcome a motion or a suggestion that we postpone the adoption of these minutes, 60 pages of the June meeting.
So moved until what, the next in-person meeting, which would be December.
How about after lunch, he suggests?
Yeah, 60 pages after lunch during the meeting. That you guys would think I was conflicted here. But are you joking?
He's joking. Oh, you weren't?
Well,
okay, folks, remember to use the microphone.
I would like to suggest to the secretary that this is 60 pages people got on Friday. And you probably, we're all human. Very few had time to read it. I would suggest postponing, approving the June board meeting minutes until December. That's a motion.
Teresa? How about a friendly amendment to that? How about or until the next time we meet, whether it be by telephone conference?
Well, certainly, if they're pretty good, if people haven't had a chance to read them, then sure, I don't object to that.
Okay, well, if that's okay, why don't we postpone this until the next time we meet? Okay, is there a second to that? Okay, is there, just by a quick show of hands, all who approve that or agree with that? One, two, three. I'm not counting. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. And all opposed and abstentions?
George is abstaining. Dave Furtick is abstaining.
And two abstentions, right.
Everyone else
passed, yes. Okay, so then we go to the July 16th. Now, these maybe we can do because they're relative. Sure, we could read them even right now if we haven't read them yet. The minutes of the July 16th conference call. Do I hear a motion on that?
This is Teresa Allen. I move that we approve those minutes.
And a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the minutes? Okay, by show of hands, all those who approve the minutes of
Madam
the...
I just got a chance to read it.
James Furtick.
One thing that's here, it says that the board shall retain...
We're on only this day.
Oh, this day?
We're only on the 16th, is that correct?
Yeah, we're on July 16th.
Oh, okay, let's go for it.
Okay, so on the July 16th, is there any discussion or questions about the minutes of July 16th? No, hearing none. So why don't we move to vote? All those who are in favor of adopting these minutes, please raise your hand. One, two, three. I think this is unanimous, except for one abstention. Right, one abstention. Okay, then we have July 22nd. Conference call also, and again, this is it's actually continued on the second side of the one page. There's just a sentence or two on the second side. Is there a motion on these minutes?
I move we accept them.
And a second?
Second.
Okay.
Is there a discussion, Madam Chair?
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm about to ask.
Okay.
Is there any discussion on these minutes? Okay, James.
There is a language that says we will be retaining Timothy Fox.
Yes.
Is that, would that be an extension of the $5,000 that we've already paid him?
No. This was what was decided at that meeting to do that.
Oh, this is okay. That
right, right. This is not a proposal to go forward with that.
Okay.
Right.
I thought it was something we...
No, this is just a record of that meeting. Okay, any other questions about these minutes? No. Okay, so let's move to a vote. All those in favor of adopting the minutes of July 22nd conference call. One, two, three. Okay, everybody and one abstention, right? All agree to one abstention. Just so people know, the person who's abstaining is Charles Smith, our new board member, who actually wasn't at any of these meetings, so it probably makes sense. Thank you. August 23rd conference call. Again, this is one page with a few lines on the second page in case you missed them. And this was on the meeting where we adopted the fourth quarter budget for this fiscal year 2002. Is there a motion to adopt these minutes?
So moved.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Again, James Ferguson.
I thought it was the 30th that I wasn't at, but maybe it's...
I'm unsure. You think you're at that meeting, but not at the meeting on the 30th.
I thought we talked... No, I apologize, Madam Chair. Leslie?
Thank you very much.
Okay, this is correct.
Okay, this is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... Any other comments? We had a motion to adopt from David. Did anybody second?
Second.
Second from Pete. Any other comments? Okay. All those in favor of adopting the minutes from the August 23rd conference call, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All opposed and abstentions. Two abstentions. James and Charles. Okay. August 30th. Conference call. Yes. Yes, okay.
But these were the corrected version. I had mentioned when these were published that I had been present and my name did not appear. And I see this hasn't been corrected yet.
On which one, Ms.?
On the two previous ones. As you can see, my name does not appear as either present or absent.
No, on the 23rd, it's there. You're present, Ray LaFarge.
On the 16th and the 22nd.
Earlier
one. Corrected.
I just handed them out on Friday. Did you tell me to correct it between...
No, I said that before it was typed, when it was on the Internet.
No, I haven't been on
the Internet. These haven't been on the Internet.
But in any event, it doesn't matter.
If you were on... It doesn't matter previous... If you were at those meetings, it should be reflected in the minutes.
I'm disappointed that it's not showing.
I see. Now, would you please, Ray, I'm sorry, I did not circulate these minutes on the Internet, so I was not aware I needed to correct them. So which ones are we to correct?
The
discussion of the budget and the discussion to hire Timothy Fox. No,
July 16th, the July 16th conference call and the July 22nd conference call.
All right.
He was present at both of those conference calls.
Okay,
so now, I'm sorry, but I've lost track. What date were we on? Did we already do the 23rd?
There?
Did somebody keep track?
Yes, we already did the 23rd.
Oh, are we on the 30th then? Yeah, August 30th.
And Chair, I'll move for adoption for the purpose of opening discussion as a correction I would seek to be made.
Okay, so is a motion to adopt, is there a second to the motion?
I'll second,
and you have something to say, David?
I believe that relative to the resolution that where it states that the board direct the executive director and staff to cease all actions or plans to move the national office until the board has an opportunity to further discuss the matter, I would add to that, because my notes of that meeting reflect this, I could be wrong, that also Mr. Zakia said, and that a feasibility study be done. And Mr. Zakia is here. I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, but I was quite sure that that was part of the motion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Works for me.
So is there a... Let me see. How should we proceed?
So if we could add, and that a feasibility study be done.
Do you want to amend the minutes?
Yes.
To add that.
Correct.
To add that language that...
I don't think so.
I'm sorry, Dave. Could you say the word...
To add on to the resolution after where it says to further discuss the matter that and a feasibility study be done.
Again, that's David Furtick from Los Angeles.
Is that everyone else's recollection? Because I certainly did not understand that to be the motion we voted on.
That actually is not my recollection. My recollection is... that the word feasibility was used in the meeting. My recollection was that the board directed executive director and staff to seize all actions and plans to move the national office until the board has had, I don't remember exact wording, but I thought it was the board has the opportunity to further discuss the feasibility of a move, which in my mind is a little bit different than a feasibility study.
So the word feasibility wasn't in the motion.
Was or was not?
Was not in the motion.
Oh, then I said corrected.
It was in the discussion, but it wasn't in the motion.
Okay,
right, so it wasn't in the motion.
Okay, I withdraw my... although I'll note a feasibility study has been done, so it's kind of moot.
So, okay, again, look at the minutes that we have before us. Is there any other discussion, amendments, changes, corrections that people feel need to be made on the minutes that are before us? Okay, so then let's move to a vote. All those in favor of adopting this, the minutes of the August 30th conference call, please raise your hand. Okay, all yes and one abstention. So I think it's 10.
I'm sorry.
Janice abstained. She wasn't at the meeting. Okay, and then the September 1st conference call. We have minutes on that. Do we have a motion to adopt those minutes?
Move to adopt.
Second. Pete. David and Pete. Okay, any discussion or comments on the minutes?
Call the question.
Okay, all those in favor of adopting the September 1st minutes, please raise your hand. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I just counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 yes, any no votes, and abstentions, we have 3 abstentions. People who, again, were not...
So were the 3 that abstained, please?
Janice, James, and Charles. Okay, so that's the... Those are the minutes. And that is included. Again, we apologize to those of you here with us and those of you listening. That must have been extremely boring. But that's part of the business of doing this work. So thanks for hanging in there with us. Okay.
Two comments of Leslie
Payton. The next agenda item is the discussion of the national office. As we, in the minutes that we just adopted from the August 30th meeting, that resolution called for further discussion by the board of this item. So that's why this is on this agenda. So it is open for further discussion. Let me just actually open this by saying two things. One is, in our board packets, there was a memo from the executive director with an attached budget based on his work and the staff's work, the projected budget for the cost of the move, and a memo with that explaining some of the issues related to the move, how to make the move happen. We also, all on the board, I hope everybody on the board got yesterday a copy of a memo from Ross Wisdom, our accountant, the accountant that's been working with us since February, further clarifying his position on this question. Also, that's one thing I want to make sure that everybody has these documents. The other thing is that I just want to place this discussion in, remind us all that the issue of the move to Berkeley, returning the office to the Bay Area, first came up at the January board meeting. It then came up again at the March board meeting for further discussion. And it was actually at the March board meeting where we adopted a resolution calling for the return of the office to the Bay Area as soon as it was feasible by the end of the year, by the end of this calendar year. And at a certain point in between that meeting and this meeting, the national office began to think about, plan, and put into place the steps that would be necessary to actually make this move happen. In mid-August, I received a request from several people on this board for a special meeting of the board to further discuss this, and that's why the conference call happened. And at that conference call, the motion we just talked about passed, and that's how we got to this. I just wanted to provide a little bit of that kind of overview. And remind folks that the motion that was put before us and voted on in March has never been rescinded, that we still are on track for returning the office to the Bay Area. And the question is, the issue comes before us again because at least several people on the board felt that they wanted more information and more time for discussion. So that's what gets us to this point now, to have this discussion right now. So the floor is open for comments or a motion or the suggestions or thoughts about this, questions or whatever. David?
Well, Chair, at the last meeting where it was said that we should halt all planning and action until, basically the idea of my understanding was that until further information be provided, based on the information provided by the National Office and frankly based on my pre-existing understanding relative to the benefits of the move, I would urge the board to free the hands of the National Office to proceed in planning and actions to implement the move. I don't think there's any inference that we do it in a hasty or destructive fashion, but that we do it as soon as reasonably possible. I think perhaps the placing of a specific time date was one of the issues that people objected to because it might be, you know, up against the wall in terms of practicality. But we've got staff people with kids in schools. We've got people who have to plan their careers. We have planning that has to happen well in advance of the move that we should be underway doing it. And so I would move that we relieve any restrictions upon planning and action based on the information before us and perhaps reconsider the date by which the board requires it to occur, but otherwise that we proceed. That's not really a motion. It's just a proposal that I think it needs to be formulated into a motion based upon the feeling of the board.
Carol and Jabari.
Well, I really don't think we need a motion. We already passed a motion to move as soon as feasible. Unless Jabari or one of the people who don't want to go forward want to make a motion to delay, I think the motion we've already passed is not been rescinded.
Right. Well, let me just ask, are people cold? Should we try and get the heat turned? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jabari.
Let's have someone do that other
than Jabari Zakia from Washington, D.C. is next.
He's the one getting paid right now.
Okay, no, the board, Rob and Dan both should be in the room. Okay, sorry, Jabari.
Jabari Zakia. First, this question came up in New York. It was a end of the meeting motion that was proposed to move the executive director in the executive director's office only from Washington to Berkeley, where it had been previously situated. That motion failed because nobody had heard anything about it. Any other people had left, and it failed. In March, a motion, that issue was reintroduced. And this time, in addition to the executive director's office, it was a motion to move the finance office from Washington to Berkeley. The finance office hadn't been in Berkeley. It had been in L.A. for almost 20 years when it was moved to Washington. At that meeting, at least three board members weren't there. Rob had left. It was done in the end of Sunday meeting. Rob had left, James wasn't there, and Bert wasn't there. So there wasn't enough discussion, there weren't a whole lot of people there, and in that meeting there was two votes. There was a vote to separate the movement of the finance office from the movement of the executive director's office. That vote failed to separate it. My basic contention is this. We passed the motion in August to say there shall be cease any action and plans to move the office. And that speaks for itself. So there should be no plans to move the office because that's the motion that passed, irrespective of the previous motion that said there was a motion to move it. So,
can you repeat that last statement?
The motion that was passed said in August that we directed the executive director and staff to cease all action and plans to move the national office. That's the motion. And it speaks for itself.
Right.
Okay.
Until further discussion.
Until further discussion, right. Okay, which we are discussing now.
Right.
My contention is that we are an elected board. As this weekend should have made crystal clear, we're going to have to extend the time period that we have to deal with the bylaws. There's three things that we were tasked to do under the settlement agreement. We were tasked to do the bylaws, seat new LABs, and then have elections for a permanent board. And then we would go out of business as an interim board. In the meantime, we were supposed to maintain the finances. We were to deal with the hot items. We were to pay down the debt and restructure the debt. And basically, we've done those. This move was not a hot item. If it was that important, it would have been made a hot item. This move, I understand, is a desire of certain people, certain groups, and I understand that. But as a board, we have things that we must do and then things that people want to do. And this is a want to do, not a must do. As far as the feasibility study, there has been no feasibility study. The stuff Dan put out is no feasibility study. I put out stuff where I put out what I saw to be my projection based on a couple of days of trying to figure out, well, if I was going to do this thing, how much would it cost? And what really irritates me in a sense is that I put that out the day before we were going to have the meeting on the 30th. I have made suggestions about doing things in the office about the finance software, and I've gone and called people. I've gone and gotten prices. I've gone and researched things. And it's really irritating, especially as a treasurer, and especially from people who talk financial accountability, who talk budgets, who talk all this stuff, that not a single number had been presented with some kind of validation, and not a single plan had been I'm not saying plan. I'm not talking about a few little citations of instances of things, but I'm talking about a plan. And it should be crystal clear right now that we're understaffed, we're overworked, and we have things that we must do, and that this thing is not a must do. And it will be disruptive enough in the process, because now we're talking about we have to have another meeting before December just to deal with bylaws. We're going to push all of this stuff out. We got labs that haven't been involved in the bylaws process enough to understand what it's going to be. So they got to start learning things. And so we need to really focus on what we should be dealing with. And I understand all the history and things, but the point is, as an unelected board, this is not a restoration of the present or the past structure of the organization. This is a reorganization. This is a new restructuring of the organization. You're not asking to put things the way they were. You're asking to restructure the whole organization and put everything into Berkeley. I have a serious problem with that, because we as an organization haven't had all these strategic discussions that I've been talking about of what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it, how much it's going to cost to do it. And all the listening areas haven't been a participant in putting in information and in their feelings on things. I personally would like to see the next board look at creating a national organization where they put different components of the national organization in each signal area to give each signal area a significant voice and a significant sense of power within the structure of the network. You can't do that under these rushed situations where you can't methodically and deal with situations. So I personally want this whole thing to be ended. I want it to be completely nullified. I want us to concentrate these last six or whatever number of months we're going to have to take to get these bylaws done, to get these LABs in place, have a new election, and then go out of business, and let the new board come in without a constraint of time or a feeling of a constraint of time with a better sense of organizational mission, with a more stable organizational structure, finance office, debt restructuring, people know each other better, people have a better sense of where they're going, and there is no reason to rush this thing. There is no rational reason to rush this thing. It's not going to go away. We can always do this in the future. There is no requirement that we do it now. We have demonstrated that we are able to run this operation. We are able to run the network with the present structure of the organization. So I personally would like this whole thing, the whole move issue, to be nullified, because the bottom line is, you start moving stuff now, you're going to cause all kinds of problems, and we don't need any more problems than we already have.
Okay. Thank you, Ray. Yes, Ray.
Did you say nullified?
I basically want the whole issue of the move to be completely nullified, so there would be no question that this is something that we are thinking about doing or we're taking any actions to do it. Because as long as it's on the table, people want to say we're going to move. Okay?
Okay.
And the bottom line is, even if you put a date on it, even if you delay it, the whole concept is we're going to do it. And the bottom line is it's always going to be a question of when. So the cleanest way to do it is to not do it and let the next board deal with the situation.
Okay, thank you, Jabari. Other comments? People want to speak on this issue.
Hi, Pete Bramson from Berkeley. A couple of comments. I appreciate Jabari's input. This board is an interim board, but faced with many decisions. We have made decisions that are... in addition to the bylaws, in addition, as a matter of fact, hiring a permanent executive director, we have made some decisions to clean up unfinished business in some of the regional or signal areas, and we have a history of revisiting older decisions, which is, I think, what we're kind of faced with now. There is a commitment from the board to follow through on the vote that was taken in January and March to move the national office to Berkeley, which is its home for many, many years. There is a community support in Berkeley to be able to assist us through the transition. I think I and others feel very strongly about bringing the national offices back to Berkeley. We are, in fact, in transition, and the transition can be made more smoothly, knowing that we're going to commit to that which we've already undertaken. Jabari had referred to a cost analysis or a feasibility study. There have been several put forth. Obviously, some are different. Jabari took the time to put together some numbers. I think Dan took the time to put together some numbers to compare as to what the cost savings would be to move. I feel very strongly, as others do on the board, that we should follow through on what we've already put through as a vote to move back to Berkeley.
If I could call myself, thank you. Can I say, Janice, I'm sorry, Janice. Okay, Janice, it's fine. Take your time.
Jabari said that nobody had heard anything about it when he came up. And that is inaccurate. This is something that when all the tension started, something we'd all heard about, and it's something that many listeners deplored, many producers deplored it. And it's one of those real instances that we were able to see just how badly things were going. When that move happened that night, then we knew that something was wrong with the leadership at Pacifica. This was like, oh, wait a minute, there's no excuse now. You can't take up for what's going on. I know I'm not a fiscally responsible person, so I'm glad when Jabari says the things that he says, because that's one of the main things we're charged with. But we keep coming back to, we have to have some kind of framework that we're working in. We have to have something that's pushing us. There's got to be a political foundation of what we do. I'm sorry, it has to be. It has to be part of our decision-making processes. And even so, you're talking about certain people want, let's just be open. I think one reason you want to keep it in D.C. is because it's more convenient for you as treasurer. I mean, if we're being open about people's motivations, I'm sorry. So, and I don't know if this is supposed to be secret about what Ross wrote.
No.
Okay.
No.
What is Ross's opinion? Is he...
Just for people listening, Ross Wisdom is the accountant that's been working with us.
Ross Wisdom, and before, his opinion had been used as a reason not to go. Now he's saying, okay, if you do this, this, and this, everything is fine. Now, I haven't heard Ross's name this morning. So,
if I could say a few words, we'll just go around.
No, I would just say that I would,
Marie LaForest.
That Janice here refrained from second-guessing what Jabari is saying. It's clear that there are other reasons. I mean, there are very clear reasons stated why we didn't move. Some of the reasons that I use personally are that we didn't have information in front of us. So whether people have other secondary reasons, I think these are enough without second-guessing them. And if we want to keep the dialogue on that level, I think we'll do better.
Right. Yes. Let's only speak about what our points of view and ideas and concerns are, and let's not put words into other people's mouths. I think that would be helpful. If I could just call myself for a second on this matter, I believe that that it does make sense to move the office back to the Bay Area. And there are several reasons why I support this. And this should not come as a surprise to people that I support this. I've said this all along. One of the concerns I have is that one of the ways I think about this is that I think that part of our job in this period of transition is to, yes, of course, deal with the priority items as laid out in the settlement agreement. And we are working on all those items. All those items are moving forward. Yes, the bylaws are taking longer than we had thought they would or hoped they would, but we are moving on them. We are working on them. But I think in addition to that, those of us who came onto this board as a result of a transition that was a result of a movement of people around this country to reclaim Pacifica and hold it accountable to its mission, that part of our obligation, part of the work we have to do is to help right the wrongs of the past. And one of the wrongs, and there were several of those that we did, in fact, already. We did what we could do to return the fired and banned in New York. That was the right thing to do. And we didn't call for a feasibility study or an analysis of the impact that would have at that station. And it had an impact at that station. I mean, there were, the situation here in Houston with the local advisory board. We were called upon by the Houston activist community to address their concerns about the nature of the lab here. That wasn't in the settlement agreement, but we felt it was right to take action on that, and we did. Our leadership and our national staff leadership took action in regards to several of the general managers, the station managers around the country. That was not spelled out in the settlement agreement, but we did that because it was part of righting the wrongs. This, for me, falls into that category. As Janice had said, when that truck pulled up in the middle of the night and moved the office, that was wrong. I also think that we, as part of that, speaking just for myself, that I am part of a movement here. I'm not only a board member, I'm part of a movement. And one of the demands, one of the very clear articulated demands of this movement has been the return of the office. And not seeing yet any clear any clear articulation of an argument that would change, that would undermine that demand, that would say that demand is wrong. I feel a need to hold true to those demands and to meet those demands. And I actually looked at the list of demands that was articulated a year ago in November when the board met outside of Washington. And there were 12 or 13 demands on there, and that was on there. That the move was on there. and virtually all the other demands have been met already. It seems to me as an ongoing act of solidarity with the movements that most of us are a part of, we should honor that demand. I also think that there's broad support for this move around the country. That's not just a handful of people. It's not just a Berkeley issue. There's support for this around the country, and we should honor that. Time to keep discussing. Thank you, but we do need to keep talking here. Carol?
I echo all of Leslie's words and will not repeat them. I think that it was a legitimate issue. Let's look at what this will cost. Let's analyze it. When we authorized the move in March, I think it was a reasonable expectation to get a plan in front of the board and the costs so that we would know what was underway. We do now have that. Dan has prepared one. It's very thoughtful, methodical. I don't like leaning over. It's thoughtful, methodical, cost-effective. In fact, moving the office back to Berkeley will save the foundation $73,900 per year in rent that we pay for the office space in Washington, as against $27,000 per year in income we receive for the space that's now being leased in Berkeley. That leased space, the lease expires soon. If we put the national office back in there, we will be saving net $47,000 for the first year. But we need to know that, and each year going forward, we need to know that if the national office doesn't come back, then that's KPFA is paying the mortgage on that building. KPFA is paying the taxes on that building. KPFA is paying the insurance on that building. If the national office doesn't come back, then KPFA will probably expand and put a public affairs department or a meeting room in there. So this is costing us, staying in Washington, $74,000 a year in rent. The cost of the rent in Washington, the savings in rent covers the cost of the move. It's a break-even situation. The total cost of this move, at the highest estimation, is $125,000. In 2 years, we cover that total. It's covered. Now, there's some other reasons why this is a good time to move. Our accounting staff, we need to hire accounting staff. We need, as Ross has told us, we need a CFO. We need an assistant controller. We need a new payroll setup. We need a new accounts payable. Yasmin is working with temps. Her staff is now temps. So we have to hire staff. So the question is, do we hire staff in Berkeley, or do we hire staff in Washington? Which is it? If not, is it more expensive to hire new staff? We're hiring new staff. They have to be trained. The cost of training new staff in Washington or in Berkeley, it's a wash. We have to hire and train new staff. If we hire new staff in Washington, then next year, or the year after, or the year after, or the someday in somebody's dreams, we'll have to fire a lot of people. We'll have to disrupt people's lives. We will have to disrupt an operating finance office with a staff and personnel who've been there. We don't have to do that now. Yasmin is working with temps. If we move to Berkeley, we will bring new people on. They will be trained before, according to Dan's plan, between now and the end of the year. So that everything will go very smoothly. We'll be training those people in Berkeley. We'll have a new controller hopefully in as quickly as possible, in October. It'll take a while to find that person, but by November, to assist with the audit, go back to Washington, work with Yasmin, and have a very smooth transition. And so that after the first of the year, Yasmin can stay in Washington through the completion of the audit, and the new office, finance office in Berkeley, will be up and running, working on our current year finances. It's a very smooth and reasonable plan. And the cost of it is covered by the savings and the rent. And also, I want to remind the foundation that the Berkeley community is very generous, has always been Pacifica Foundation. We built the building, and we will continue to be generous in supporting the national office in Washington, or in Berkeley. We will.
We like that.
In supporting the national office, our community has offered to raise funds, throw a fundraiser to defray the cost, help defray the cost of this move. We'll be there as we always have been. I think that's all I need to say at this point. I think everything, all of the reasons for the move have been discussed, except the political climate in our country. We live in very dangerous times. Pacifica has, since its beginning, been a target for federal agencies, FBI, CIA, Senate Internal Security Subcommittee, House Un-American Activities Committee, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting does exist to make certain that public radio within the United States have some influence on the kinds of political programming. I think that the home of all of those agencies should not be the home of Pacifica. I think that's the political reality of our nation. It's certainly not a comment about the many fine and wonderful people who live in Washington, D.C., but it is a comment about the politics of the entire globe, and I think we need to be very aware of that realize that Pacifica is an alternative view. Pacifica is an exception to the rulers, and that we should maintain our perspective from outside of Washington.
Okay. Who else? I just want to see if people who haven't spoken yet on this issue want to speak, and then we'll get back to folks. Okay, Ray, did you want to speak?
Yeah.
We'll just then David.
Yeah,
Ray LaForest,
from New York City. I think here we have some conceptual notions first, and then some practical ones. On the conceptual level, I think the idea is whether it is advisable to move or whether people are against it. As far as I know, the only person who spoke against moving is Berkeley. He didn't say why, but he said he's against moving. Nobody else has said it. Again, before we go into the practical issues, I disagree with Leslie that because the fire and the ban were returned at WBAI, that should be equated with moving the national headquarters to Berkeley. For me, one of them is a regional issue, and I would have been glad to return any fire and ban in Berkeley to their previous position. Hopefully, it will be done properly. And whereas I think the move is a national issue, without denying the tremendous work that has gone into setting up this network on the part of KPFA, the emotional attachment, and the tremendous work that this community has done. The third aspect, the way I see it, before we even decide whether we're to move or not, were notions raised by Jabari as to the relative value of keeping a financial office, for example, or part of a financial office in Washington, in other part of the country. Because if we use the same thinking, maybe if the the archives were not actually physically, you know, kind of nailed down in Los Angeles, maybe we would have moved them also. And I'm not sure what the benefit of that is. And I don't think we have looked at that adequately yet. And maybe the last one, it's something that Carol just said, and I disagree with that, that somehow if we are closer to the monster's belly, that we're more in danger. The leaders of this society, the runners of this society, are now in Afghanistan and all over the Middle East, and I doubt that the distance between Washington, D.C. and Berkeley would deter them. So it is an argument. I'm not convinced by it. I think that the kind of organizing that we need to protect ourselves will protect us whether we're in Berkeley or anywhere else in the country, or will not work whether we're in D.C. or not. Now, in terms of the practical move itself, for me, there were two aspects. One of them was financial. The inability, because of the precarious condition that we're still finding ourselves in, owing more than $5 million and so on, to face additional course expenses when we could actually do it in a more proactive fashion and in a more rational way. And on that level, I'm satisfied with Dan Coughlin's report that indeed the expenses are much less than had been predicted by some individuals, and that it is feasible. So for me, what remains is the other, if you want, somewhat less tangible aspect of the other type of destruction that Jabari mentioned. And that, to me, can be addressed specifically, or more specifically, through Dan Wisdom's, Ross Wisdom's report. For example, he puts here in his short report to us that he had put two conditions. That the first one is that the audit be done for 2002, and that this will not be completed until January or early February 2003. And the second reason, that mostly accounting procedures, including all data, I won't read the whole thing, all data entry and accountant reconciliation and monthly internal financial reports are up to date and running smoothly for at least 1 or 2 months, and preferably a full quarter. He suggests that as a practical matter, that we go ahead and hire a new controller. I guess what he's also saying that the Great Plains program would be able to function and would survive a physical move. So what he's suggesting, in a sense, is that people be hired and that the training for these individuals begin in Washington while we get ready to move. Yes. Well, I'm getting to that. I still insist, however, that the current Washington staff be kept in place until the audit is finished and the new staff at the new office are operating smoothly. So, to me, what would guide me in voting this would be the practical implication of the requirements that he has. And I suggest that we look at this quickly and come up with numbers. So my position has always been all along that I'm in favor of moving, and that the question that remains to me is how do we do it, being the least disruptive and with the most beneficial way for the foundation.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering if it would be helpful to hear from Dan,
Can I ask a couple questions?
A question?
In terms of costs, as I understand what's happening here is that if the move is, say, fairly immediate, then you would hire a new finance office staff, where you keep Jasmine and other people on, to finish the audit. It's looking at these numbers here. I don't see that cost put in here.
It is.
Is it in here?
It
Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to ask Dan to maybe
and secondly,
talk about
it. To understand it now at WPFW, the rent is shared between the national office.
Right, but the figures that Carol spoke about were out with the national share of that.
No, what my question was, would not WPFW have to pick up that additional rent? Since
no.
No, that's why, again, I would like to call on Dan, who maybe can address Marion's questions and other issues that come up.
Yes, I think, first of all, this move would not be done in a reckless manner at all, and we would obviously, as we had been over the last several months in conceptualizing the move and planning it, taking Ross's advice as the gold standard for us in how we were going to execute this board resolution. Clearly the keys to this move are overlap, integration, and training. And we've included those costs, some of those costs, in the budget that I've proposed to the board, including travel costs, training costs. We actually have a training set up for December for all the business managers, so there are some training components in place. But certainly overall, the keys are integration and training for the accounting staff. So we have budgeted for that. I could answer some specific questions. Beyond that, I think everything is relatively self-explanatory. I know some people feel perhaps the costs that I've put down are too high. Others feel they may be too low. You know, there are obviously some issues with the rents, specifically in Washington, D.C. Our present offices are separate in the sense of rent from the WPFW offices. So when we would leave that building, then that wouldn't have any...
The rent would be vacated at that point?
Yeah.
For the national office?
Yeah.
Question, Dan? The cost of running parallel of bringing new staff on is included in these figures that you provided us. Is that not true? Is that true? I just want you to confirm that.
Where are they, though?
Yeah, it looks like there's a training and travel cost built in, severance costs built in, relocation and shipping, Berkeley office prep, national office rents. So, yes.
Dan, it doesn't appear, though, you have in here the cost of the present staff to stay on during that period. And the cost of a new staff being hired and trained during the same period. I don't think that's in here that way, is it? I don't see it.
We have the severance of three positions,
Carol,
I think you understood.
Carol, severance is different than paying salaries for the present staff and also paying salaries for a new staff that's coming on that's being trained but who has to be paid in the training period.
Yeah, it looks like, I think you're accurate, Marion.
That's not in there.
To be an adjustment for that.
Can we ask another question?
Wait a second. Dan said that that's not in there.
Right, okay. Yeah, okay. So Marion's question's been answered. It's not in there.
Right.
Right. Some of those.
It ought to be in there if we're going to get the true cost.
Exactly. So some of the expenses related to staff are not in there. Okay. Can we go back to the order that we had? I think it was David and Jabari and then Rob. And then James. Okay.
And Pegasus.
Let me also, I hate to do this because, you know, some people took a long time, including myself, in making our comments. It is 10 o'clock.
This is KPFA or KPFB Berkeley, KFCF Fresno, KPFK Los Angeles, WPFW in Washington, D.C., and WBAI in New York City.
So, David.
Thank you, Leslie.
David Furtick.
The listeners, it's a listener-supported network, listener-sponsored network. The listeners, and that includes those of us on the board, have fought mightily to bring us to this point where we actually have the ability and the power to affect the kind of changes that are being discussed here, or to remedy the kinds of wrongs that are perceived and to make the kind of moves that are being discussed. The listeners brought us here. We all, being listeners, helped make that happen, but it didn't happen except for the fact that the listener says, damn it, it's got to happen. The accountability that we are seeking to implement here in this new organizational model is based upon the fact that without this accountability, such things as the move symbolized, and the move symbolically, taking it from Berkeley to D.C., was extraordinarily dramatic, symbolic move. And I'm not arguing, Jabari has very, an engineer's mind, and he's very detailed, and that's spectacular for a treasurer. But there are emotional components, and they're not to be discounted. However, setting those aside, the simple fact, the organizational mechanical fact that we are here by virtue of the listeners standing up and saying, stop it, change course.